fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. A Wisconsin institution is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year and soon to mark a major milestone. It's an institution with a humble beginning. In 1984, George Culver bought an A&W root beer stand in Sauk City and began renovating it with his wife Ruth, his son Craig, and Craig's wife Leah. They could hardly have imagined that 30 years later there would be 498 Culver's restaurants in 21 states, all serving the items on that first marquee, butter burgers and frozen custard. I'm Glenn Moberg. Up next on Route 51, my guest is Craig Culver, co-founder, CEO, and as he likes to call himself, co-worker. In the next hour, we'll talk to Craig about the secrets to his company's rapid growth, its underlying philosophy, its cross-country expansion, its donations to local charities, its commitment to sustainability, and Craig's own life story from that A&W to the Farm Kitchen Resort in Devil's Lake, the Ritz in Sauk City, and even McDonald's. We'll find out how a Wisconsin root beer stand could grow to the point where soon it will mark that major milestone by opening its 500th restaurant. Now, as always, we'd like to hear from you. Do you eat at Culver's? What's your favorite item on the menu? And do you have any questions to ask the man who helped make it all happen and about what it takes to go from humble beginnings and succeed in America? Our phone lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can post a question on our Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Craig Culver, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Glenn. Good to be here.
Well, you are the CEO and co-founder, but you told me on the phone that you like to call yourself a co-worker. Why is that?
You know, my beginnings are from the restaurants, and that's our heritage, and operations is really what we're about, and I still get in the restaurants on a regular basis and get behind the counter, sometimes the grill, and get out in the dining room and such, and what I like to say, I get to play with my team members and interact with the guests. I just enjoy doing that.
Now, last week you had your 30th anniversary birthday party, and Governor Walker spoke at the event. What was that like?
Well, we've been doing this for about 15 years, where we convene together with all of our restaurants, and it's grown from about a group of 20 to we had 1,500 in Milwaukee last week over 3 days, and well, it was exciting. It's always exciting, but it's a lot of hard work as well putting that event together. But getting everybody together, the energy and the enthusiasm is amazing, and that's the reason we do it, just to re-energize not only our, you know, all of our team members and franchise partners, but myself as well. And that's what it does. It just re-energizes all of us and gets us going.
Well, you must have had a lot of energy over the past 30 years. When you opened that first restaurant 30 years ago, did you ever think you'd grow to the point where soon you'd be opening 500 of them?
You know, I like to say, oh, yeah, I had a grand plan in place. But no, the grand plan was let's open this thing up and see if we can make a living at it. And it was an opportunity for me and my family to get to move back to my hometown of Sauk City and Prairie du Sac, which was exciting for us. But that first year, we just about didn't make it with Culver's.
Really?
That's right. I mean, it was so nip and tuck. And fortunately, we had a banker that believed in us. And fortunately, I had a family around me that also believed in me and our concept as well. Without those two things, I'd probably be doing something else today.
When do you think you're going to hit that 500 milestone?
Well, I know exactly when we're going to hit it.
Okay.
A week from this coming Monday, I will be in Wixom, Michigan, and that'll be $4.99. And I'm sorry, that will be number 500 because they're alphabetical. We opened two that day. The other one is in Cedar Falls, Iowa. So Cedar Falls will be number 499, and Wixom, Michigan, will be number 500. So that's a week from this coming Monday.
And you just opened number 498.
Yeah, we just opened on Monday in Goshen, Indiana, and man, goodness, we just blew the doors off the. Well, we're still blowing the doors off the place. I was there yesterday, and very, very, very busy.
So you take a pretty hands-on approach with a lot of these franchises if you're traveling to Indiana and then traveling back again.
That's the way I learned the business. I learned the business hands-on from my parents, from all the different businesses, the restaurants that we've had over the years. And we've always been hands-on, and it's just the way we do things. And my parents taught me that, and you know what? It's the right way for us to operate anyway, and it works for us.
Now, is it true that those signature items, butter burgers and frozen custard, have been with you since you opened that first restaurant in 1984?
That's right, they have. Frozen custard, I went to school at UW-Oshkosh, and there is a little custard stand in Oshkosh, still there yet today, called Leon's. And Leon's is also in Milwaukee on 27th in Oklahoma, the original Leon's. But, you know, in college, every once in a while I'd sneak over to Leon's to have this delicious ice cream. Of course, that's what I called it, but it was frozen custard.
Right. Well, what's the difference between ice cream and frozen custard? Because I'm, you know, we're used to going out for ice cream, but you've made a market nationwide for this thing called frozen custard. How is it different from ice cream, and how is it similar?
Sure, they're both very similar. They both, by law, have to be at least 10% butterfat. So something like, one of my competitors serves something that's called, legally it's called ice milk, or soft serve is what we like to call it, because it's less than 10% butterfat. So ice cream and frozen custard both have to be at a minimum of 10% butterfat. Ours happens to be 13% butterfat. The other thing with frozen custard has egg yolk added to it. Generally, ice cream does not. And also, good frozen custard, the way we make it at Culver's, has very little air beat into it. As little as 20% air. Most ice creams have at least 75 to 100% air beat into it. And so if you took a quart of vanilla, or a quart of vanilla frozen custard and a quart of ice cream that you bought in the grocery store, that custard is going to weigh significantly more because there's just less air beat into it. So those are the general differences.
Well, there you go. All right,
the fact that custard is made fresh in our stores all day long, so it's not sitting in a freezer for weeks or months or anything like that. It's made. Made all day long in our restaurants.
So you've got a custard machine in every one of those restaurants.
Yeah, those custard machines are expensive.
I bet they are. Well, what's a butter burger, and why does it taste better than most burgers at fast food restaurants? I'm not allowed to make editorial comments on
this
show.
Well, you said that. I didn't say that.
But
you know, when we opened Culver's, I was just fascinated with the name butter burger. A gentleman mentioned that to me. Back when we owned the Ritz Supper Club, we were having a beer one afternoon in our little place, and he was from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he mentioned to me when he was growing up, there was this place called the Milky Way Drive-In, and they served the butter burger. When he told me that story, I said, man, if I ever get the chance, and my chance was getting the A&W back in Sauk City and converting that A&W into Culver's Frozen Custard. The butter burger, I didn't know exactly what it was going to be when we opened. It took us a few weeks to really figure out what we were going to do, the butter was going to come from.
You had the name before you had the product.
We did, yeah. We do things a little backwards once in a while, but, we just butter the bun and grill the bun, and of course, the burger itself is made with fresh ground chuck and sirloin, and it's put on a very hot grill. It's always fresh. It's fresh meat, and it's made to order. It's cooked to order.
You know, one of the things about Culver's also is all those side items. The other day I stopped at a Culver's in Stevens Point, and I ordered a butter burger, and instead of fries, I had this side order of green beans, which were a little bit crispy. They weren't overcooked. That's something that sets you apart from other fast food chains.
Yeah, we look at options like that, and we've had green beans for some time now, and you know, we're always looking at healthy options for our guests as well, and the green beans certainly is one of those options. But one of the options that's really popular, besides French fries, is and onion rings, is our cheese curds. Oh my gosh! I think last year we sold like 16 million portions of cheese curds in our restaurants, and it's so fun for me, or fun for all of us, when we travel to places like Arizona and stuff at our restaurants. And many of these people don't have a clue what cheese curds are, but they buy them anyway, and then they fall in love with them, and then they keep buying them.
So you're actually exporting Wisconsin culinary culture to other parts of America.
We are.
Right?
We're pretty proud of that as well. We're proud of Wisconsin.
Now, another Wisconsin touch is you've got walleye on the menu at times.
And that's coming up. That's actually in the restaurants right now. I believe they'll start serving it on Monday. And it's a Lent product for us. We can't source enough walleye for all of our restaurants to have it year-round. So it's just we just have it during Lent. And as I said, that's... I believe that'll be available in our restaurants on Monday.
Well,
Arizona. I'll mention that again. There's a lot of Midwesterners in Arizona, so they love walleye. But there's places like Utah that think of walleye. They're like carp is the way they think of them, and they won't touch this stuff. So it's very interesting, but very popular in all of our restaurants except for Utah.
Well, serve it to them in Utah, and they might change their minds. You know,
I got to get it in their mouth, and I'll work on that.
Well, where do you get your fish? Whether it's the walleye or the cod?
The walleye all comes from Canada. It's fresh caught walleye, and the cod all comes from the Norwegian waters around Norway.
Is that north of the Arctic Circle?
Some of it would be, certainly. Not all of it would be north of the Arctic Circle, but some of it certainly would be.
I've been
there a few times, actually been out in the boats with the fishermen and stuff. But it's the best cod in the world as far as I'm concerned.
Now, does this fish come from sustainable fisheries?
You know, the Norwegians are very knowledgeable about sustainability. And, same with the walleye. We can only buy a certain amount every year, and that's it. So the sustainability that Canada is doing with the walleye or the Norwegians are doing with cod, I applaud them.
And I read on the website that the Canadian walleye comes from Lake Winnebago.
Not Lake Winnebago. I don't recall what lake it does come from.
But it does come from Canada.
It does come from Canada.
All right. You've got chicken entrees, too. Who raises the chickens? How do you prepare them? How are you different from other restaurants?
Well, we've got a number of chicken products. We've got our grilled chicken sandwich. We've got our crispy chicken sandwich. We've got chicken tenders. And we also have our bone-in chicken, the fresh chicken that comes into our restaurants, like Mom used to cook on Sundays of years ago. And all of our chicken, it does come from Arkansas. Georgia, Gainesville, Georgia area. And it's all antibiotic-free, all of it is. And we made that switch a couple years ago. And that wasn't easy to source at first, but that was the direction we wanted to go. And Springer Mountain happens to be our supplier. And they made that happen for us. I've actually been on the farms there and around Gainesville as well, and big chicken area, and they're great farmers as well.
And the website says the chicken is American Humane Certified, free of antibiotics and growth stimulants, and fed a high-quality diet of grain and soy. And the website also says that the pumpkins that you put in your seasonal frozen custard are sustainably grown in Oregon's
Willamette Valley.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. They used to come from Morton, Illinois. Libby's used to do it, but they couldn't they couldn't keep up to us, and we had to source it someplace else. And we found this wonderful company in Willamette Valley, Oregon, and they are a wonderful supplier of ours as well.
And the coffee, Rainforest Alliance certified to support
the coffee. The coffee is and the coffee is local. Well, it's certainly not grown here, but we have a local coffee roaster in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, called the Torkey Company. A wonderful company, family owned, and they roast all of our coffee. And if you've never had a cup of coffee at Culver's, have one. I think you're going to find that we have one of the best cups of coffee you're going to find anywhere.
Why the commitment to sustainable agriculture and these environmental practices? You know, that's something that you really didn't have to do.
No, I believe in it. We can't do it with everything, but where we can do it, we try to do it. And, you know, the buzzwords in the industry are natural and fresh and local. You've heard all those things. And when you're a chain business, however, you know, and spread out over 21 states as we currently are with almost 500 restaurants, you know, we can't buy, I get a kick out of local, you know. Can't buy tomatoes this time of year anywhere locally, can you, in Wisconsin?
I don't think so.
You can't. So,
well, unless it's a hydroponic greenhouse
where you can grow them.
Yeah, unless it's a greenhouse somewhere, a hydroponic greenhouse.
And that's a possibility. But again, when you got 500 restaurants, you've got to source them a number of different places, and we do that. And we look at our suppliers as our true partners in the business. I mean, and we're very loyal to our suppliers as well. Most of them have been with us for many, many years. And it's a partnership between the two of us. It's a win-win relationship, because if it isn't win-win, somebody's losing. And when somebody's losing, I believe both parties lose. And so we try and create win-win relationships with all the people we deal with.
If you just joined us, we're talking to Craig Culver. He is the CEO, co-founder, and co-worker, as he likes to call it, at Culver's Restaurants, which have started 30 years ago, started as a single restaurant in Sauk City, and next week they will be opening their 500th restaurant. There are now Culver's in 21 different states. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Ray in Rhinelander. Ray, you're on Route 51 with Craig Culver.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Ray.
Listen, I have to really compliment you on this. I'm so proud to be from Wisconsin. I'm very proud that somebody from Wisconsin started from literally nothing and worked their way up. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We frequent the one in Minocqua and Rhinelander and Antigo. Between the three, they're all pretty good. Am I still on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
Okay, I'm on a cell phone. You know how that is. But here's what I want to tell you that was really interesting. Back about 2009, I think it was, there was an international ice fishing contest here. And we had people from all over Europe and Russia attending this. And they wanted to go to all the different restaurants and things. And I and a couple of my friends saved Culver's for last for them. We specifically brought some of these people that had time to Culver's, and they were amazed. They said, looking at all the things to choose from, and they voted Culver's the best, and the Russians especially, they were clapping and applauding, and it was just an amazing experience. It was just fantastic. I've only had one little small problem in all the years of eating in your restaurants, and I think that's a pretty good record to have one small instance where something got mixed up. The only thing I would suggest possibly looking at the menu is, it's fantastic, is have you ever looked at having a different or an offshoot of a different kind of fry besides just the crinkle one, or is that your signature fry on that? And with all that, I'll take my your comments off the air. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Ray, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Ray, for those comments. And you know, we're always going to have challenges. We're far from perfect, so we will have miscues here and there. But the crinkle-cut French fry has been with me from day one, and I look at it as an old-fashioned type of fry, and that's exactly what I wanted to do when we started Culver's. And That's not going to go away.
It sounds like you need to open a franchise in Russia.
Right? I guess I should be in the over at the Olympics right now trying to do something there.
Let's go to Adam in Presque Isle next. Adam, you're on Route 51 with Craig Culver.
Yes, thank you very much. I have to tell you, after I had my major heart attack in 2006, I felt heartbroken, but if I wanted to live, my heart doctor said I had to stop going to Culver's. You used to have very little that was heart-friendly, you know, with the little heart symbol on it, in terms of there are some low-fat things, so on, that at least I could cheat once in a while without feeling too guilty. I'll listen to your answer. Heart-friendly stuff.
Heart-friendly stuff, Craig Culver. How much at Culver's restaurants?
Well, all our salads would be heart-friendly. All our soups would be heart-friendly. Our grilled chicken sandwich is certainly heart-friendly. Where else am I going here? Not sure what else, but, you know, I'll just share a story with you on that. I actually had heart surgery 4.5 years ago. I had my mitral valve repaired, and the day before the surgery, because they open you up for that, they check out the arteries around my heart, and they checked it out. I eat at Culver's every day, and they checked me out, and there was no blockage of any kind, and I thought about using that as a marketing ploy at Culver's, but my team member said, Craig, no, don't do that.
So, Adam, I guess the answer is check out the salads and the grilled chicken. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to talk to Craig Culver, the co-founder and CEO of Culver's Restaurants, a 30-year anniversary of a chain that started in Sauk City with a single restaurant and is now about to open its 500th restaurant. They are now in 21 different states. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you're on the line, hang on. We'll get to your phones right after this short break.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics, Access Prosthetics, and Gimme Shelter play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can too. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, presenting two magical exhibitions, From Houdini to Hugo, The Art of Brian Selznick, and historic lithographs and props from the American Museum of Magic, on view through April 6th. More at LYWAM.org.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Craig Culver is our guest, the CEO and co-founder of Culver's Restaurants, starting with a single converted root beer stand in Sauk City 30 years ago, now about to open their 500th restaurant in 21 states. Let's go to Lewis in Wausau, who has been waiting patiently. Lewis, you're on Route 51 with Craig Culver.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to take part in this. And first, I want to commend you, Mr. Culver, for using sustainable business practices. I think this sets you apart from a lot of your competitors. And my goal for calling is to maybe see if you'll be a leader in setting the standard on another issue. That would be the minimum wage. And I do know, because I have actually talked to some of your employees, that they do typically make above the $7.25 here in Wisconsin. But the fact is, the United Way has done a life report twice now that has stated that income inequality is a big problem in our area. And has cited the idea that $12 an hour would be more of a living wage. And obviously in some bigger cities, 15 or higher would be more of a living wage. Would you be willing to be a leader on this and, you know, pay your workers a living wage, to reduce the tax burden, on the public, and also, you know, give your workers that incentive to say, hey, I really appreciate you. I really, want you to do well. Would you be willing to do this, or would you be able to speak on this issue?
Lewis, thanks so much for the phone call. Craig Culver, could you respond to that?
Yeah, minimum wage is a hot topic again, and here's my thoughts on the minimum wage. What I would like to see, and I've talked to legislators and stuff. Nobody seems to want to listen to me, however. But what I would like to see done is a two-tiered minimum wage, a youth wage. In other words, those 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, a wage for them, and that could be what it currently is, or $8 an hour, or something like that, $8.50 an hour, and then a wage for those 18 and older, or 19 and older, whichever. And that could be $10.10 an hour. That could be $12 an hour. But my thought is, you know, let's move it to, let's say, $15 an hour. Nothing against our youth. I mean, we need them at Culver's, and they're terribly important to us. But I don't think our youth necessarily, as a beginning job, should be paid $15 an hour or $12 an hour. I believe there should be a two-tiered system. It just makes sense to me. And that I would support strongly. We do pay our people more than I'm pretty sure most of our competitors do. And we also have health benefits for our team members as well. So we've got a package for our team. And, you know, I talk about people all the time because it's the most important part of our business. I've said this many times. Yes, we're in the restaurant business, but most importantly, we're in the people business. We believe in our people, and we believe in taking care of our people as well.
So, Craig Culver, you would support raising the minimum wage for people over 21, but you'd like a two-tiered system.
I'd like to see a two-tiered system, and nobody's really talking about it. I really believe somebody really brings that to the forefront. I think that would fly. I do.
And you mentioned $15 an hour?
I'm not, you know, I'm just throwing that out. You're not going to see a $15. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
I know that isn't going to happen. 10-10 or the number our president has thrown out, I think that could happen. But I still don't see that as a youth wage. I see a youth wage as a couple bucks less than that.
All right. Very good. Let's go back to the phones. And I want to go to David right now, who's calling from central Wisconsin. David, you're on Route 51 with Craig Culver. And please turn your radio down.
And I want to go to David right now, who's calling from
central. David, you are on the air. Please turn your radio down.
Hello.
Hello, David.
I want to relate something that touched my heart in a very unique way. There were a couple of youth that you employed, were employed on your Culver's restaurant in Tolma, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They were on a family vacation and were in an accident in Georgia in which one of the young people died.
I know where you're going.
And the other young person, was hospitalized and couldn't be moved without medical help. And you, your company, out of the graciousness of their heart, flew your private jet with a nurse and flew that child back to Wisconsin. And as long as you care about those young people you employ with that kind of heart, you're going to be successful.
Thank you.
And that kind of caring is worth more than any minimum wage law that anybody will ever pass.
David, thanks so much for the phone call.
Also, I want to compliment your restaurant in Tolma. Anytime that something has been amiss on an order, they have corrected it and then compensated with some kind of free merchandise in addition to it. I've never left there not being satisfied.
Thank you, David. Ella Mary run that restaurant. Just saw him last week in Milwaukee. They are two people with huge hearts. So fortunate to have them as my franchise partners.
And Craig, if you could explain briefly the situation that David was talking about.
Yeah, it was a family in Tolma, they were on vacation down in Georgia, and they had a car accident. And the son of the family was killed in the car accident, and the daughter, beautiful girl, she was just really, really banged up. And Al, my franchise partner in Tolma, called me up and said, "Craig, is there any way we could send the airplane down to bring her back home?" "Yes, of course we can do that." So we sent our airplane down with a nurse and brought her back home so she could recover here versus staying in Georgia for a long period of time in the hospital there.
Craig Culver, the CEO and co-founder of Culver's Family Restaurants. He's my guest for until the end of the hour on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls. And, Craig, I want to get into the history of Culver's and what it was like in those early days right after this final short break.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Wisconsin Lakes Partnership, bringing their 36th annual statewide convention back to Stevens Point April 24th through 26th, with hands-on workshops, national experts, and ideas for protecting our legacy of lakes. More at WisconsinLakes.org.
Craig Culver is our guest on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Culver's Restaurants, starting 30 years ago in 1984 with a single restaurant in Sauk City, and now about to open their 500th restaurant. They have franchises in 21 different states. Craig, let's talk about those early years, and I want to go back to your childhood. Your dad, George, actually bought a root beer stand back in 1961. Isn't that true?
That's correct. Dad was in the dairy business and working for Wisconsin Dairies. He was a field man in Union Center, Wisconsin, and Purtusac was our home. We had to move to Union Center because of his job, and I guess us kids put up. Moving is not easy for a young person, and that was not easy. And I guess we put up such a stink, my brother and sister and myself, that Dad started looking for an opportunity to move back to Sauk City and Purtusac, our hometown, and he found this little A&W and. In Sauk City on Highway 12, and he purchased it in 1961. I was 11 at the time.
Did he know what he was doing?
No, he didn't have, you know, and I talk about Dad all the time because I get to talk to a lot of entrepreneur programs and classes at university and high schools and stuff. And when I talk about entrepreneurism, I talk about somebody a little bit different than what academia talks about. My dad was an entrepreneur. He was a guy that put everything on the line, didn't necessarily know where the heck he was going, but, you know, so many entrepreneurs, they are so passionate about what they're doing, so sure of what they're going to do, that they don't think about failure. They don't even dream about it because they believe it can't happen to them. Well, Dad went into this business along with his partner, my mom, and Mom is not an entrepreneur, not a risk taker whatsoever, but they were a perfect team. They were, and they got this little thing going, and well, they were very successful at the A&W, and that was the start of us being in the food service business.
I saw you speak at the Chamber of Commerce meeting late last year here in Wausau, and
yeah.
You spoke about your mom and the people skills she had, and how that's something that you try to maintain at all of your restaurants today.
Yeah, mom and dad both. I mean, neither one were college graduates. Dad hardly made it through high school, but he was one of the smartest ones, I'm sure, in his class anyway. But, mom had this gift. When somebody walked into our places of business, whether it was the A&W or the Farm Kitchen or the Ritz Supper Club later on, or Culver's finally starting in 84, she made those people feel so welcome. She was such a welcoming person and a fun person as well. And Mom wasn't always real good with names, but those people never knew that. They thought Mom knew them forever. And I talk about this all the time with my team members and such. This is what we've got to do at Culver's. You know, we may not know everybody that walks into our place, but we've got to welcome them into our home.
You're not just doing that for one restaurant now. You're doing it for 500 restaurants all across the country. How do you maintain that same quality of service when you've got employees stretched, you know, from Florida to Arizona?
Yeah, and it's all about leadership. It's all about leadership. So we invite the right people into our organization that we feel are those leaders, that we feel are those welcoming people, that we feel bring energy and enthusiasm to the people around them. It won't happen otherwise. It just won't. It might for a short period of time, but not for any length of time. So we are very picky about who we invite into our organization, whether it's our team members or our future franchise partners. And people have told me, people have said, Craig, as you get larger and larger, you can't maintain the culture. And I say, baloney to that. Yes, we can. As long as we continue to work hard at it, we invite the right people aboard, and all of us stay engaged in what we're doing. Yes, we can.
Now, that root beer stand your parents bought in 1961, they eventually sold that, correct?
They sold it the year I graduated from high school, 1968, and I had no intentions of staying in the business.
And then you ended up buying the same stand again, right?
Yeah, we've owned it three different times. Culver's was the third time in 84 when we got it back. And so, yeah, we've owned that piece of real estate three different times.
Well, it finally worked, right?
It always worked. It just, Culver's has been pretty magical for us.
You actually worked for a while at McDonald's.
I did. I spent, right out of college, I swore I wasn't going to stay in the restaurant business, but I did anyway, and I got a degree in biology, of all things, as I probably told you in Wausau at that meeting. But I did. I went to work for McDonald's and spent 3.5 years with them, and I learned a lot from those people, especially the business side, the numbers side of the business, cash flow and income statements and inventory controls, waste controls, labor controls, and all those important numbers that you must control in running any business. And I really learned those from the McDonald's people.
And then you worked at a place called the Ritz in Sauk City?
The Ritz was in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
It's on Highway 33 and Highway 12 was. There's a Walgreens there today. That tells you how good a piece of property it was. But it was a long-time Wisconsin supper club. When we bought it, Dad and I, again, we're partners in it, and we attach our last name to it, Culver's Ritz, and a typical Wisconsin supper club. Friday night fish fry, prime rib on Saturday nights, little salad bar, and so on. It's martinis, brandy old-fashioned sweet, that type of thing.
An old-fashioned supper club. And then there was a place called the Farm Kitchen Resort, which was really a pretty big place and a place that did a lot of different things.
It was a very, very special place. That my dad bought that after selling the A&W in 1968, and we had that through the mid-70s. And the reason we didn't hold on to it was my dad was having health issues. And he asked me to take over and run the farm kitchen, be the general manager after I came home from college. And I told Dad no, because I had no intention of staying in the restaurant business. I watched Mom and Dad work too hard in that business, and I told my dad no. And that's one of the regrets I have over my career, is telling my dad no, of not taking over the Farm Kitchen Resort, because it was such a special place.
And you had horses there?
Well, yeah, we didn't actually have the horses. We leased that out, and with the miniature golf course, we leased that out as well. But we had an orchard on the property and shuffleboard, amusement barn. It was 40 acres, right at the north entrance of Devil's Lake State Park. And all the menu was all made from scratch, everything. And I learned a lot about the food service business and about people at the farm kitchen.
So how did you go about making the decision to buy that root beer stand for the third time in 1984?
Well, we actually didn't buy it. What happened was when the last time we sold it, which was 2 years prior to getting it back, we sold it on a land contract. And that's where we're the banker in the deal. And the people we sold it to did not make it. And so we literally got it handed back to us. And honestly, I couldn't wait when that happened. I knew it was going to happen, but when we got that phone call saying, please take this thing back from the owners, I couldn't wait. And I had an idea of what we would do if we got it back. And defranchising was one of the things we were going to do, and we were going to get in the frozen custard and butter burger business.
And as you said, that first year was tough. You almost didn't make it.
That's true. And a lot of people go through that. And it's a story I tell all of our franchise partners and managers as well, because it doesn't always just flow exactly the way you want it to. You're not necessarily going to make money right away. And you got to, you know, you got to figure that out, and you got to know that as well. And it takes a ton of hard work and a lot of smarts. And not that I was smart, because I just about lost the place. But nobody's going to give you anything. You got to make it happen yourself.
Now, as late as 1993, you were still a pretty small chain. You had like 14 restaurants in southern Wisconsin. You have grown exponentially since then. What's the secret to that? How did you expand from that to 500 restaurants today?
Well, we believed in what we were doing, and apparently other people believed in it as well that weren't in our business, and people just started. We don't advertise our franchises for sale at all. We don't do that. We don't go to any shows, you know, with the franchise opportunities. I just abhor that. I will not do that. People come to us because they've had an experience at a restaurant and they're thinking, geez, this might be a pretty neat thing to do. And that's how we started to build the business, just by taking care of our team members and our guests. That's how we grew the business. You know, I'd like to tell you there's all these silver bullets and stuff, this magic. It's a lot of hard work, but believing in what you're doing and believing in the people around you. Yes, you've got to have great product, but the most important thing is creating that great experience for those people coming in, for those guests coming in.
And we've talked about your parents, Ruth and George. How about your wife, Leah, your partner in crime here?
She is my partner in crime. She's you know, been with me from day one at Culver's, and today what Lee is really in charge of today is our charitable arm of our company. 1993, I believe it was, when one of our suppliers, actually it was Cisco Foods out of Baraboo, Wisconsin, gave us a $500 check to start a scholarship program. And so we gave away one scholarship that year, $500. Well, last year, Lee gave away $300,000 in scholarship monies to our team members at Culver's, people that have worked with us, that are going to school, have been with us at least a year, and maintain at least a C average in school. To date, she's given away just about $3 million in scholarship money. So education is terribly important to us at Culver's.
Now, you've also worked with farmers, with the Future Farmers of America. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, we put together a partnership with them. Well, I've always believed in agriculture. I'm from Sauk City and Prairie du Sac. You know, I'm surrounded by the ag community. They're my friends. They're our business partners, and they're our suppliers in their own way. Yes, about a year and a half ago, we put together a partnership with the National FFA. And, that partnership is going to continue for some time to come. I don't know how familiar you are with the organization, but, you know, yes, it's ag-related, and that ag is the topic,
mm-hmm.
But it's really, really a leadership organization is what it really is. If you get to meet these young people in high school and college that are FFA members, oh, my gosh, they'll blow you away. They are just... They're a class act is what they are.
You raised $220,000 for them, right?
Actually, we raised $250,000 amongst all of our restaurants and Culver franchising as well. And that went to the local FFAs in the different communities that we're in, and as well, $50,000 went to the national organization, too.
And then you've got one day a week, or one day a year, rather, where you give 10% of your proceeds to local charities.
Yes, on a grand scale, we do. It's you know, it's called a share day is what it is, where all of our restaurants give 10% of their top line, not their profits, the top line, which is a bigger number, away to a specific charity, a local charity. But I got to tell you, I mean, so many of our restaurants do this on a regular basis in their communities as well. And they have a strong sense of community. Again, that's what makes them who they are. They're people that believe in community, people that believe in giving back.
Well, we've got people waiting to talk to you, Craig, and I'm going to try to get to as many phone calls here as we can in the next few minutes of the show, the last few minutes. Let's go to Craig in Hamburg. Well, that's appropriate. Craig, you're on Route 51 with Craig Culver.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just curious about the minimum wage. I'm wondering what percentage of a Butterburger is actually the wage that is in there, and how much would it go up if the minimum wage went up to what they're trying?
All right.
Well, labor in our restaurants runs around 25% of sales. So let's say, and that's being a good manager, really managing the numbers well. So let's say our average unit does close to $2 million. So 25% of that is what? $500,000 is a labor number.
All right.
Help you out.
Craig, thanks so much for the phone call. And let's go to Sharon in Berlin. Sharon, you're on Route 51.
Good morning. Go to Culver's all the time. Really like it. First introduced to Culver's when the Menominee one opened, and I worked there at Stout. So, but we're here in Berlin. We go to the one in Ripon. And you had a fantastic manager there. You probably still have one, but this one left.
Caleb. You're talking about Caleb, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm talking about Caleb.
You know where Caleb is?
Yes, I do. And we liked him so much. He was your, like you wanted,
great
the
guy.
Friendly, knows everybody person, put out the extra mile. I want to know, because I used to live in Arizona, are you serving any kind of Mexican or Spanish food in that Culver's at Prescott?
No, we don't. You know, and although you know we do serve taco salads in some of our restaurants.
Sure.
Actually, we used to. That used to be part of our salad menu. But you know, I believe in letting. I know what we do well, and I'm not going to try and do what the Mexican restaurants do. They're experts at that. We're not. So.
Okay. One more comment. I think the best thing on your menu is the cod. And I'm glad to hear it's from Norway and not from our coast where it is going away.
Sharon, thanks so much for the phone call. Craig, we are completely out of time. I've just got one more question for you. Are you ever going to retire, and what happens to Culver's when you do?
You know, I don't, I'll be 64 in June, and I don't have any intentions to retire. No, I don't.
Craig, thanks.
And we're not gonna sell the business either. It's gonna remain a family owned business.
Craig, thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on your 30 years in business, on the 500th store, and thanks for exporting Wisconsin culture to the rest of the country.
Well, thanks for the invite. This was a special treat for me as well. Thank you so much, Glenn.
We want to thank today's guest, Craig Culver. You can find out more about Culver's restaurants at culvers.com. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Remember to follow us on Facebook. And if you missed some of this broadcast, a reminder that Route 51 is repeated in its entirety every Friday evening at 7 on 90.9 FM Wausau. And you can download it at wpr.org/route51. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.